It's Holy Thursday. The Sacred Triduum begins. Welcome to today's podcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. The Roman station for the Mass of the Last Supper is supposed to be at the Bishop of Rome's Cathedral Church, the Archbasilica of St. John Lateran. Traditionally on Holy Thursday, the Bishop of Rome celebrates two Masses, the Chrism Mass and the Mass of the Last Supper. For the Mass of the Last Supper, it is moving to see the head of the College of the Apostles, the successor of Peter, in the head of the basilica, which is the apse, because the nave of the church is flanked with heroic statues of the other apostles, carved between 1705 and 1718. I always contemplate Bartholomew, holding a knife and his own skin, and Thomas pointing with his famous finger toward the altar, where "My Lord and my God" is called down. The baldachin over the altar contains relics of Peter and Paul, and a table altar thought to be one used by Peter himself. From The Life of Christ by Fulton Sheen. Every soul can at least dimly understand the nature of the struggle that took place on the moonlit night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Every heart knows something about it. No one has ever come to the 20s, let alone to the 40s or the 50s or the 60s or the 70s of life, without reflecting with some degree of seriousness on himself and the world around him, and without knowing the terrible tension that has been caused in his soul by sin. Faults and follies do not efface themselves from the record of memory. Sleeping tablets do not silence them. Psychoanalysts cannot explain them away. The brightness of youth may make them fade into some dim outline, but there are times of silence, on a sickbed, sleepless nights, the open seas, a moment of quiet, the innocence in the face of a child, when these sins, like spectres or phantoms, blaze their unrelenting characters of fire upon our consciences. Their force might not have been realized in a moment of passion, but conscience is biding its time, and will bear its stern, uncompromising witness sometime, somewhere, and force a dread upon the soul that ought to make it cast itself back again to God. Terrible though the agonies and tortures of a single soul be, they were only a drop in the ocean of humanity's guilt, which the Savior felt as his own in the garden. A Prayer for Priests. O Almighty Eternal God, look upon the face of thy Christ, and for the love of him who is the Eternal High Priest, have pity on thy priests. Remember, O most compassionate God, that they are but weak and frail human beings. Stir up in them the grace of their vocation, which is in them by the imposition of the bishop's hands. Keep them close to thee, lest the enemy prevail against them, so that they may never do anything in the slightest degree unworthy of their sublime vocation. O Jesus, I pray thee for thy faithful and fervent priests, for thy unfaithful and tepid priests, for thy priests laboring at home or abroad in distant mission fields, for thy tempted priests, for thy lonely and desolate priests, for thy young priests, for thy aged priests, for thy sick priests, for thy dying priests, for the souls of thy priests in purgatory. But above all I commend to thee the priests dearest to me, the priest who baptized me, the priests who absolved me from my sins, the priests at whose masses I assisted, and who gave me thy body and blood in Holy Communion, the priests who taught and instructed me or helped me and encouraged me, all the priests to whom I am indebted in any other way. O Jesus, keep them all close to thy heart, and bless them abundantly in time and in eternity. Amen.